Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, part two of my insightful, inspiring, and illuminating conversation with the Courtney Act. Enjoy.
This next project that I'm working on, which I feel like when you're like, oh, this is like a secret idea that I'm working on and pitching to TV people at the moment, but I may as well talk about it.
Yeah.
Is this idea of like Courtney Act on a television interview show, but I'm talking to like, focus on sport. Speaking to like national sports stars, probably
like
not
Ian
in the US,
Thorpe.
But he's a gay.
Oh, right.
But like in the UK, like footballers.
Mm-hmm. Like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano. I thought you said something
right?
else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you said Cristiano Ronaldo and I thought it was like a, yeah, Cristian Ronaldo. Like people whose names we don't know because they're big sports stars and we don't know who they are.
Okay.
David Beckham. No, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not. I mean,
yeah.
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah, yeah,
the OG metrosexual.
Totally.
Yeah.
In that voice.
Uh-huh.
Hi, how are you?
Like, that's a real, that's yeah. a gag to the patriarchy.
Yeah.
That's a real,
that's why
like,
they don't let him speak.
No shit, because he
yeah.
sounds like a fucking 12-year-old girl.
Kate Moss, they don't let her speak. Not
what,
for that
she
reason.
Sounds like that?
No, because she oh. would say things like, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Oh,
and
but yeah. But I mean, David Beckham's voice, the quality
yeah, yeah,
of his
yeah.
voice
yeah.
is shockingly
yeah.
Soprano?
Yeah.
Not soprano, but
mezzo-soprano. Contralto?
His songbird mezzo-soprano.
But
anyway,
then,
sorry.
Even in that, right, we're now participating in the idea of there being something wrong or less than about that because we're like,
about,
lol, his
about
like bird-like voice.
Oh, right, because the ultimate humiliation is femininity.
To be feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like oh, some sort of like a show where I do like a cultural exchange with like sports stars. So I interview them on entry and on
okay.
exit. And then in the middle, I go through some sort of like Big Brother-esque, like short control period where I'm like cohabitating with them for like maybe 3 days and they're teaching me.
Is this like a forced feminization type of thing?
It's a forced masculinization thing
oh,
for me.
Oh, they teach you how to play football and you teach them how to wear heels?
No, I'm not
oh.
going to teach them how
okay.
to wear heels because
okay.
I've did that. We did a pilot in Australia on Channel 10 called Courtney's Closet
yeah.
where I put like
that. I know of.
A straight man in
yeah.
drag. And there was something, there's just something about putting straight people in drag that felt like it's the closest that I have ever understood cultural appropriation where the oppressor was putting on my identity as a costume
yes.
to sort of have, and even though it was respectful and even though I was doing it, it felt a bit like.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's strange.
So I thought like I've grown up with a complicated relationship to masculinity. I finally resolved the feminine and now I'm ready to embrace the masculine and and like, I want to know how to be a man.
Oh my God.
I've pushed against it my whole life.
Yeah.
And now I've actually been finding like going to the gym and being
steroids.
Like,
oh. She goes, I have fast track, the 3-episode arc. You get on a cycle, the most aggressive testosterone. Yeah, huge cystic back knee. Road
my voice
rage.
Finally drops. Yeah. I'm like, g'day, my you're name's Courtney
convicted, Act. You're convicted, arraigned of like, you know, 17 murders because you're just killing people.
But now we're playing into the stereotypes again. No, we're trying to disassemble the stereotypes.
You're just, yeah. I mean, it would be, it is fascinating because, you know, this kind of thing plays out a lot of times in the gay subculture,
yeah,
with, because, and it's that super, like, literally roided out. Mm. Everybody's on a cycle here in LA. Mm. Roided out, over, like, hyper-sexualized, buff, big, hairy, you know, like, virile.
Yeah.
But then also, like, a gutless bottom.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, in, like, a supercharged feminine, like, bottom, receptive energy. Like, yeah. They're doing both.
Yeah.
They're doing like the most.
Have you noticed that? I've just been thinking about this, that, and I do think that Drag Race is responsible for the shifting of gay men's self-loathing when it comes to femininity, where gay men are more inclined to perform like enact femininity these days and still be found sexy. Like, there's this era of like straight muscle guys wearing like feminine,
yes, thongs
and lacy things. It's probably just that they found a new way to show off more muscle, but
that part.
But there is a embracing of the feminine, even if just a whisper.
Yes, and it's definitely a far cry from like the honcho, you know, handlebar mustache, lumberjack,
yeah,
like, you know, I could kill you with my Paul Bunyan type of thing.
Yeah,
but you know, but I still find that like, gay guys are less likely to root for other gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
They can root for drag queens. Mm. They will root for the girls or the dolls or whatever, but they won't, they're not like, I don't know. They're a tough crowd still.
Yeah. You have, like, if we think about pop culture, we have like Sam Smith and Troye Sivan.
Adam Lambert.
But even Adam, I don't think his audience is predominantly like middle-aged straight women, I believe.
I don't.
Like, he's not supported by the queers. Jake Shears has been supported by the queers.
Yes, but that was part of an ensemble most at the beginning. And that was very like, that was kind of B-52's energy-ish. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
God, I love the Sisters.
But who's the, I do too. Like, what, George, who would be the George Michael of today?
I guess is it Sam Smith? Are they kind of like to me, like Lil Nas X, Sam Smith,
right,
Kim Petras, Troye Sivan, they're the four, the holy, the four horse people. The four.
Of the queer apocalypse. The four whores people of the queer apocalypse. They certainly are harbingers to many. So I think Lil Nas X is so devastatingly attractive. Mm.
And the things that so he's done. Attractive. And the way we kind of went from like socially acceptable, let's play nice for the straight people, to lap dancing the devil.
Yeah. I'm going
to
tell you how many dicks I sucked this morning.
Yeah.
Like in this song. Yeah. It's pretty, it's wonderfully unapologetically gay. I mean, what's the Kim Petras slut pop?
Was certain. Treat me like a slut, little dirty bitch. I love to fuck.
Yeah.
Throat goat. You should have seen Throat Goat. She performed Throat Goat at Sydney World Pride at the Rainbow Republic party. And we always have sign language interpreters. There was like a big screen with the sign language interpreter and like Throat Goat or whatever it is. And
stop
it. It's totally upstaged.
Even
Kim.
For me, that I have to clutch my pearls a little bit because it's like, I'm like, that is so vulgar.
I know.
It's so vulgar.
It also, I also have a moment of like, we don't talk like that in front of the straight people.
I know. It's like dinner. It's like, oh my God, you would never go to your friend's parents' house and talk about, you know, you never believe how much cum was coming out of my ass the other night. Like,
I saw Strange Loop, the musical on the West End. Mm. And it was like, and there will be butt fucking. And it was about like hot loads. And I was like, oh my God, this was on Broadway. This is in the West End. We don't talk like this in front of the straight people.
Whatever happened to innuendo?
Yeah.
Double entendre.
But I think that could be like my generational sensitivity about like, and I love that these people are unapologetic because the people for me who were the biggest inspirations in the 90s were the Spice Girls and Madonna, and they were unapologetic.
Madonna, I'd like to direct your attention to something that needs directing to.
Yeah.
the song about eating pussy, essentially. But it's like, go down, where it's warm inside. And I think there's like where all life begins. Yeah. And if like, if you're not paying attention, you're like, what is she talking about? And it's so like, it's such a bad song, but it's like, you know, it doesn't like nowadays it'd be like, I want to eat your pussy and slurp on your lips and like have you come in my mouth and I'm going to drown in your pussy juice and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but I love that these this new generation are unapologetically queer.
They're doing it.
Yeah, they really are.
And I mean, successful.
I guess drag is unapologetic as well.
I think it's getting quite apologetic, to be honest. You know, we have to, ever since the grooming allegations started, and we have to be role models for children, and we have to be like cutting ribbons at supermarket openings, and you know.
Well, it's weird because I've always done that.
Yeah. Well, you've done everything. You've literally done everything.
Well, it is I've been having this like just thought in the last week where I'm like, particularly in Australia and the UK, I'm like the one of the good ones. Like I will be on a news panel program or reading a book to children on television.
You could literally be a newscaster.
Yeah.
Like Weather Girl or like Diane Sawyer.
Which to me is like not unapologetic. It's almost like, but I think it's more who I am. Like, I think just at my core, I'm like milky white beige. Like,
no, you're sweet. You're fucking Christian Amanpour. You're like, tonight at 11. Like, that's you, man. It's like, oh my God.
But yeah, it's like this interesting thing where I'm like, oh, I'm allowed into these spaces to do these
things.
Well,
because you're so pretty.
But there's something like socially acceptable about who I am, which is, it then makes me angry that like other people, I don't know.
Well, listen.
You know what I'm saying.
You're white. You're gorgeous. You're articulate. You're educated. You're
Thank you.
You have age-defying skin.
You are Beyonce. Yeah. Thank you.
but that's all gonna. Will all come
to a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Any day now.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting. Like
TikTok. I'm looking at Instagram, waiting for it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So you've done pretty much every entertainment avenue you've gone down. You won Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't win. I lost that twice.
You lost.
Yeah. I lost my original season
so
and I lost All Stars.
You did so fucking well on it though.
It was so fun.
Was it hard?
It was so hard.
That's what me and Trixie were talking about, that it seems so difficult.
You do 5 weeks of training with your dance partner.
Goodbye.
Before you've begun. No, but I think you would love this. You love physical.
So. I love physical things up to a point.
Yeah.
You know, the rehearsals in heels,
You don't have to wear the heels all the time. But you know, what was really interesting is that it was 5 weeks. I had nothing else in my schedule for the 17 weeks of the show, basically. There was one Mardi Gras performance.
17.
Yeah, because it's like 12 weeks of the show on TV and 5 weeks of rehearsals.
Shit.
And I have never been able to like dedicate myself to anything that
intensely.
Long and intensely. And it was like from, I don't know, 10 till 4, we would rehearse like for 6 hours a day. My dance partner, Josh, was amazing. We just like real. And one of the most important things I learned from that is that he was the leader and I had to follow.
Yes.
And building trust over that 5 weeks and then getting to the dance floor and both of us, like on the first performance we did, he said that our performance monsters saw each other for the first time where we'd been rehearsing, but like now I was in drag and he was there and we were both like, ha! And like the look in each other's eyes and the connection, he was like, oh, I can trust you. And I was like, oh, I can trust you. And then just to let go and be like led by this man through all of these dances was such a powerful lesson that like, I don't have to hold on with both hands constantly right. So tight, never slipping, not even for a minute.
Let go, Courtney. Yeah, was... That's the having that like unique, what do you call it? That focus, like the one thing to focus on, yeah. That does sound very
so luxurious,
attractive. Yeah, but the you didn't get injured.
Maybe I like a little cracked a rib on the contemporary dance number, but it healed well enough for me to continue. And my body was sore, I was in pain, but it was wonderful. Oof. It was really inspiring. And then the second season of All Stars was a much shorter time period. We shot that not in real time, but
and how long did, when you do the numbers, do you do them, you run through them more than once or just that's it?
You run through them once for the live show
and that's it,
but you get like a camera blocking the day before, a dress rehearsal, like a run, and then the
that's good
on the night.
And also, oh god, it's like not like Drag Race where they just literally grease you up and throw you out onto the it's like, what the fuck,
lube up that slippery side.
Yeah kick her down the hill, yeah. See if she falls, you know, whatever. Oh my god. So what would you do that you like, what do you want to do that you haven't already done?
Well, I really would love to do, I don't want to be on any more reality shows. I would like to be on a show that like of my own, like this sort of like how to be a man kind of idea where I
get the green table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The blue table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Binary. The purple table. Where I get to like, my kink is like in my own small.
Now, why do you have to bring it back to kinky like sexual grooming stuff? This is classic grooming. They throw in, we have a topic, you know, we're talking about politics and then we talk about kink.
Using sexualized language.
Exactly.
To desensitize you to the idea of political reform.
Exactly. And she's unlatching the door and she's,
unraveling it. Yeah. Well, thankfully you're not a minor. You're a full grown adult and we're allowed to have adult conversations as adults with each other.
I suppose you're right.
And that's a thing. There's things that we wouldn't do in front of children that we would do when we're having a private conversation or a public conversation.
That's the thing about this, the absurdity, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about fucking grooming. That I hate kids.
Yeah.
And most drag queens are either neutral or quite ornery towards them. Yeah. There's really no place for them.
No.
It's like you encountered them maybe once at your sister's house or a family reunion or on the sidewalk or whatever, but that's about
horrible things.
I don't want to read to children.
I don't want to read to children. I don't even want to read, period.
I can't even finish this book that I have on my bedside. Like, it's crazy.
None of us wanted to read to children. It was like Rainbow Family saying, what would be cute is for our children to have somewhere to go.
Mrs.
That would spark.
Kasha Davis reading like Goodnight Moon. Yeah. But it's like, what is this?
It's about like sparking the joy of reading and creativity in children. It's about, no, but I mean, that's like, I think how it came about, right? Is that we were like, well, we're clowns. We're like, kids love sparkly stuff.
Yeah.
Like, let's read them a book. And then it actually went well. And parents were like, oh, we really love this because our kids really enjoy coming because you're colorful and you're excited.
Yeah.
And then somehow I got twisted into something that it wasn't.
Well, I mean, I remember when I was in third or fourth grade, very young, we had to take the little kids out to the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the little kids asked me, he was like, are you a boy or a girl? And it shook me to my core.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I do drag. I was like, oh, this person really doesn't know? Because I was very androgynous.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was a very like disconcerting question.
Did it feel like an attack, even though clearly it was innocent?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It felt like it felt confrontational.
And almost like, oh, the jig is up. Like how?
Yeah, like what are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I'm like,
Which one of these two boxes are you supposed to be in? Because I can't tell which one.
Yeah. And I think had I been born 20 years later, I think you might be looking at a different shell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
But in any case, I mean, oh god, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that question is so interesting. I remember that, like, are you a boy or a girl?
Why so humiliating then?
Yeah.
Now, of course, the ultimate compliment.
The ultimate compliment.
If I get, like, you know, if I don't get clocked, which of course.
Not a soul can clock. No,
many souls can clock, yeah. But that would be the ultimate compliment.
But I think it's because we've resolved our struggle with the gender spectrum or the gender binary or, like, the misogyny of this patriarchal society. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think I every time I think I've kind of got it, like, wrapped up and resolved, something pops up and I'm like, oh, wow, I am really fucking backwards. I was reading a little thing about, what's her name? Judith Butler. Uh-huh. And I'm talking about Simone de Beauvoir and mm-hmm. how she thinks that, you know, sex has certain biological, you know,
markers.
Yeah. But then gender is created or chosen, or you choose to be, or one becomes a woman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I mean, of course. And also, like, I don't get why, like, why the
fixation?
The violence.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that's really perplexing.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand being confused. Mm-hmm. I can understand being like, not understand. But then why the, I don't understand this, therefore I want to, like, kill it.
Well, look at your responses in grade four. Before you were aware of anything, it was already so imbued in you that you had to conform to one or the other, that when someone innocently asked, are you a boy or a girl, you felt attacked.
Attacked.
And when you're under attack, like, when communication ends, all you have left to do is fight. And so when you've removed being able to have rational conversations from the table, and the thing is that I heard Yuval Noah Harari talk about this in a talk where he said, like, historically, these people have the guns, right. Men and power and a symbol of that. And they still do. So if we're taking discourse off the table and we polarized it where we're no longer able to talk, then all that's left is violence.
It is so embarrassing that we still have war. Mm. It's like globally, like, you know.
It's a moneymaker, but that's why we have war.
I know it is, but it's like the fact that we have all these resources and there's clearly enough to, like, to allocate to everybody.
Right.
So, like, I feel like in a few hundreds, thousand millennia, you know, the next version of whatever would be like, those earthlings,
yeah,
they're real fucking dumb.
Isn't it wild to think that, like, there's enough for everybody?
Oh, more than enough.
And that we could all live happily, but we're like, but we're not.
No, like, but that's where I want to take it back to your Vipassana.
Oh, yeah.
So my brother is big into meditation, and he was talking about, one of his teachers was saying that everybody has an idea about how to change the world, but nobody wants to change inside. Mm. And if everybody did that, would be good.
Yeah.
Because we're not, the world is not going to change.
No.
It's not going to be
a utopia overnight. No. But we can change it in small incremental ways. And for me, Vipassana, it's a form of meditation. I heard about it on, like, a Oprah Soul Series podcast.
Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah, Super Soul Sunday, which was, like, too esoteric to be included in her TV show.
Totally, yeah.
And she was interviewing a woman called Jenny Phillips, who made a documentary called The Dharma Brothers.
Okay.
And it was about, like, a prison in Alabama with, like, death row prisoners, where they introduced a Vipassana meditation course.
Insight meditation?
What is it? Seeing reality as it is, not as you want it to be. But Vipassana means to see things as they are, I think.
Yes, you are right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, form of Buddhism. Anyways.
So it's like this meditation practice. It's like literally just a meditation practice that apparently the Buddha said, like, this is, like, apparently, like, the Buddha was like, I'm not a god. Mm-hmm. He was essentially an atheist from what I can gather.
Yeah.
And he was like, I just sat here under this Bodhi tree, which is a psychedelic tree, mind you.
I know.
And meditated until he was enlightened.
Yeah.
And this process of meditation was about observing your sensations, observing the present moment, mm-hmm. and accepting your reality as it is, not as you want it to be. Yeah. So to do that, you essentially just sit cross-legged for an hour at a time for 11 hours a day for 10 days without talking, without communicating as best as you can in noble silence. And you focus on your breath. For the first 3 days, you're just feeling your breath come in and out of your nose, and you're trying to observe it because your breath is happening right now in this present moment. It's always present unless you're dead, in which case you don't need to meditate because you've transcended to the next realm. You're free.
When did you go insane? At what point?
Day 8.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Not day 3, not day 2.
No, day 8. Day 8 was when, it was 2009, I think, my first one.
Okay.
And I had broken up with my boyfriend. I was heartbroken. I had a broken leg. I went to Canada, broke my leg at Gay Ski Week, came home and was like, well, I can't do anything. I may as well just go to the Blue Mountains and meditate.
That's a very Courtney Act solution. Yeah, it's like other people would maybe hole up in a motel and drink themselves to death. So day 8.
Day 8, I went back to my room. You get like a little like dorm. Well, I had a little private room because I had a broken leg, which was lovely. Because usually the first timers have to be in a dorm. And I remember like, you don't have any books, you don't have any reading, you don't have any writing, you don't have anything to distract yourself. You're meant to constantly try and be as present as you can, even when you're not meditating. So if you're walking, you're just thinking about walking. You're trying not to think, which at that time I really thought, like, I think, therefore I am. Right. And what I came to understand through meditation was that there's something beyond my thinking mind, and it's the thing that is able to observe that. And it's not something that can be put into words because, I don't know, when you think, are you thinking in language, in like talking, like you talking to yourself in your head?
Sometimes.
Because I think I do. I think I'm like having a constant narrative.
Yeah. I used to talk out loud when I was younger, you know, alone.
Yeah.
I still do.
Yeah. And so this is literally my theory. I don't know whether this is, someone can poke a hole in it, but language, verbal communication is inherent in humans because all humans use language to talk. But language itself is a construct because every language is different.
Right.
And I thought, I'm talking to myself in like English in my head, but actually that feels like it would probably be quite limited. And I kind of had this aha moment where when I'm able to just observe my sensations on my body and like the present moment, that maybe I transcend that thinking mind and there's something behind it. And Vipassana, am I going too down the well?
No, I'm loving it.
And Vipassana, there's this idea of sensations on your body. People think that what happens is you see someone that you don't like, and then you have a reaction based on past conditioning, and then based on that reaction, a chemical reaction happens in your body. Like you get hot, you get angry, you get tense, your face swells up. And based on your understanding of that sensation is how you then react. You're like, I hate that person.
Right.
And so Vipassana is about observing the sensation, observing the chemical reaction that occurs. And rather than reacting to it instantly based on past conditioning, you just observe it. You observe the sensations like, oh, wow, I'm hot. My heart's beating. Okay. Rather than reacting and throwing something at their head, I can just breathe and observe it and realize that that was a transitionary state and that everything passes. And that if you can remain, the word that they use in Vipassana is equanimous, which is such a, it's not a word that I had heard. And so like, and the guy has an accent as well. And he's like, equanimity.
Equanimity. Yeah, I know that one.
And I'm like, I think I know what that means. I'm like day 8. I'm like, I'm almost sure I know what he's talking about.
How would you define it?
It's remaining balanced. Remaining like, and you're in pain when you're sitting there, like the 10th hour of the day and you're cross-legged.
No fucking shit.
Your back is killing
you.
No
shit.
And you think, I will. My line that I would say to myself was, are you going to die? And I was like, no. And I'd be like, okay, we'll keep sitting here. And I was just like in intense pain. I was like, I have to move. Are you going to die? No.
Nar.
And so I'd go,
I'd
go back to focusing on my breath. And I remember like one session of my most recent one, I sat completely still without moving a whisper for like 90 minutes in meditation, in intense pain, but like just things.
Equanimity.
Just remaining equanimous to the pain, observing it. accepting your reality as it is, not as you want it to be.
Yeah. And I mean, because it's like they are just sensations.
Yeah. And you're not going to die.
No.
You can just observe them.
And if you do, you're dead.
And you're dead.
Easy.
But I think it's like, it's not for everyone either. And I understand that.
I think meditation is for everybody. Mm. Or rather, creating the ability to create pauses between things and reactions. You know what I mean? Like, and widening the scope of observation of our thoughts and our actions. But that's for everybody.
Yeah, awareness.
You know? Yeah, awareness. Yeah. And also, like, the ability to sit still.
Yeah.
Unencumbered. Without entertainment, without...
Yeah. Mindless phone. You know,
do you take the phone in with you in the bathroom?
No. On the toilet, yes.
Really?
I don't take it into the bedroom at nighttime. At like when I'm home at like 10 o'clock, I'll plug my phone in the other room.
Yeah.
And then I don't look at it again until morning. And like I don't pick it up and look at it in the morning.
Yeah.
That was a great thing that I implemented during lockdown, actually.
Really? Yeah. That's, I mean, those kind of habits are crazy. So how many, these are 10-day retreats.
10-day.
How many have you done?
4 or 5. I think I just did my 4th or 5th.
Damn.
And so while I was in there, I was being discussed in the national media.
As the groomer.
As the groomer by this conservative senator.
Yeah, she's grooming world peace, you fucking bitches.
And then I get out and I have a text message from Wendy, my manager, saying, don't go on social media.
They think you're butt kids.
Until you talk to me kind of thing. And I was like, oh my God, why? I wrote back, hero or villain? ?
Both.
And then Mitch had sent me a message and had sent me the video. And I sat there watching the video of this senator in the Senate discussing me. And I was like, I could not be in a better place to receive this.
No shit.
I watched this video and I remember feeling like the blood... Like it almost felt like it rushed from my feet. Like the heat came from my feet through my body. Like my chest got tight. Like my neck got thick. Like it was like red and hot. But I was just sitting there like observing it. Like I was in peace, and I was like, huh, and just like feeling all of the sensations of my body. And I think weirdly in that moment, because I didn't react to it, because I just experienced it sort of fully.
Yeah,
it kind of like ended there in a weird way. Like I think that had all of this been happening, had I been in the real world participating in real time, I would have been going back and forth and reacting this and that. And I was just like, oh.
Now you're finally able to accept that you're a pedo. You know?
Oh God. No, I'm just kidding. I would like to distance myself from
that's the soundbite we'll use.
As a national trinket who is discussed in the national media, I would like to distance myself from though.
Like you get the scandalous news delivered while you're literally like floating on a lotus flower in the, you know, my God. Do you like chanting?
I don't do all that. I just literally sit and breathe. And that's the other thing. I think like statues of Buddha and all of this, like I don't do any of that. I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in star signs. I don't believe in
that's a topic for another day. Horoscopes.
God, sometimes when I bring that, like you can't bring that up. It's like more
in LA.
Nope. What star sign are you? I just say Aquarius.
Yeah. And we'll leave it at that.
And we'll leave it at that. And they'll be like, oh, well, that's why you're oh, okay.
Well, what's your rising sign? Well, let's not talk about that. Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, for me, meditation is simply about like breathing, observing, and in a world where your brain is rushing around all the time, lovely like once a day to like sit down, focus on the present moment. And the more that I do that, the more consistently I do that, the more I'm pulled out of that sort of like toxic thinking world of like the either or, and I'm able to just be present and like make choices from a non-reactive place.
So we're gonna start wrapping up. Are you familiar with the infamous interviews of Tyra Banks and Beyonce, where she was like slosh of fierce?
Not Tyra and Naomi.
Tyra Banks and Beyonce. Had a talk show.
Yes.
Terrible. She would do these puns where like she would make a pun of so I was like seance. Like, did you ever talk to dead people? And then she would be like, slosh of fierce. When was the last time you got a little tipsy? Unhinged. So I want to do a couple of those for you.
Okay.
Courtney Fracked. Would you ever purchase the mineral rights to it?
Would you ever sell the mineral rights?
Yes.
Okay. And then talk about it on an NPR podcast called Fresh Air?
Yeah.
Fresh Air?
Courtney Stacked. How much money do you have in your bank account right now?
I thought you were going to talk about my physique.
Well, that's Courtney Racked.
Ah.
How'd you get them pecs so perky?
I had sex with a gentleman recently and out of drag. And whilst we were in the throes of passion, he said, and I quote, "Nice chest." And I was like, how the fuck did you see so deep into my soul and know exactly the words I needed to hear to validate my existence on this night?
I thought he was going to say, "Nice tits, hon."
Nice, nice tits.
You got a nice rack.
It's there. The equivalent of like, nice tits.
Well, you know what? That is the unifying thing. Men love breasts.
Yeah.
Men, gay men, love, obsessed with pecs. Straight men, everybody, these, it's just a thing.
I don't think I'd thought about it that literally.
I mean, they're tits.
Do you think gay men love tits because of their life-giving qualities?
Is
it Oedipin?
It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's the secondary sex characteristic, something in that it just carries over. It's a universal thing.
Mm.
I don't know. On that note.
Drive me wild, but.
You get small tits, you get big tits, whatever. Nice chest.
Yes,
somebody on Grindr complimented me on my pecs the other day, and I was like, wow.
How did it feel?
It felt really fucking good. It felt like a man, finally. But it's, if you ever like want to, that's how simple gay men are.
So simple.
Like, you're a beanpole one day, you go on a cycle, you get it, write it out, and then you go to the gym 6 months, and now people are paying attention to you.
I will admit that I did Google all of the steroids and the human growth hormones and the things. Yeah. And all of them lower your voice. And I was not willing to compromise
my songbird
vocal tones, my contralto.
You don't want to do like a Roy Orbison cover
pretty
album?
Woman.
No water.
Walking down the street.
Blue
pretty
bayou.
Woman.
I think it'd be great. It was like your baritone era.
I mean, I feel like I've just got a drag queen in Sydney, Penetration, messaged and was like, wow, this is the best you've ever sounded. Like, are you choosing songs in more appropriate keys? And I was like,
are you finally singing in your range, Flop?
I was like, no, I'm wearing in-ear monitors and I can hear myself for the first time. And I look at my singing in the last few years and I'm like, oh, it actually sounds good more often than not, as opposed to the prior 20 years. And so I'm like, I ain't going to go on no steroids now and ruin all, like have my voice break and start yodeling.
But there's always auto-tune. Anyways.
I love you.
People, and you know, give it up for the legend, Courtney Act. She's the best, most wonderful, gorgeous woman that ever happened to be on Earth.
You know what I love is that if this wasn't filmed, we would have still been sitting and having the same conversation.
Yeah, just a little bit closer.
Yeah. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for being the beautiful. And
thank you for being the bold and the beautiful.
My pleasure.
And thank you for having me in your gorgeous home.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, happy days.
I got the AD tour earlier. It's stunning.
Yeah, all about 30 square feet of it. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.